Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Zeitgang, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 202, episode 4 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist, the production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, September 16th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. She hates big nuts and she cannot lie. Some other brides might deny, but when her man walks in without ivermectin, puts those big balls in her face, she's just gone. That is courtesy of Eat the Rich Jefferson and Nicki Minaj's cousin's fiance.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Well, they tried to go and clone the mammoth, but Jack said, no. Yes, it's been stink, but when it's living, you will no.
Thank you so much to the Super Toe for that just wonderful Amy Winehouse rehab remix. Because, you know, people are out here talking about bringing the fucking woolly mammoth back to life to end climate change, or that's one of the it's very hard to understand why. Yeah. But thank you for that tribute to Amy nonetheless.
Yeah, and fortunately they do have to check with me before doing it, so it's not happening. Yeah, sorry. Until you explain to me how getting an animal that eats Arctic grass is going to restore Arctic grass to the landscape,
it'll bring balance.
It's a no for me, scientists.
All right, you heard it.
Well, Miles, We are thrilled to be joined by a very funny stand-up comedian who writes for Nickelodeon's new show, That Girl Lele, NPR's Ask Me Another, The New York Times, The New Yorker, Bravo, Glamour. You've heard her stand up on SiriusXM and seen her on stages across the U.S. She hosts the podcasts Comedians with Ghost Stories and her book of uplifting and funnia trivia, One Day Smarter, drops on October 12th. Please welcome the hilarious and talented Emily Winter!
Oh, thank you so much! Thank you for having me on your wonderful show!
Oh, hey. Who told you to say it's wonderful?
No.
Come on.
I got the memo.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, yeah. Where are you coming to us from? Where on the earth are you?
I am in Brooklyn, New York. Okay. I'm in Red Hook on my little hole back here. Yeah.
Nice. How did you fare during the floods and things like that?
Sure. There was the first one. I was in the Wisconsin Dells and I was having no part of it. And apparently my place was fine. And shockingly, the second one, I was fine, too, as many of my friends got flooded.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we just got some extra mosquitoes. So that's
great.
I did very well.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I have a backyard, which is like, you know, basically it's like a mansion in New York. So I have a little tiny backyard and it's like just full of mosquitoes. Nobody's coming over ever again. Yeah.
Let's have like a bite proof suit on or something.
Exactly. Yeah,
I hear that.
What? Okay. So I'm super intrigued by the podcast Comedians with Ghost Stories. Are you a believer? Do you believe in ghosts?
Absolutely. I think, do you guys believe? Do you know?
I don't know.
Certainly
don't know.
I'm ghost adjacent.
Does that mean you have someone close to you that's seen a ghost?
Yes, yes. But they also have a propensity for bending the truth a lot. So it's hard. It's a source that I have to consider. And I'm like, well, you know, you also kind of just, you like to see things happen certain ways a lot of the time. But I don't know. I mean, I'm also being Japanese, a very ghost-centric culture. So,
absolutely.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm out here like, I wouldn't go somewhere and be like, I'm not afraid of anything, because on some level they freak the fuck out of me. But have I seen one? No.
Okay. Well, there have been 107 billion people that have been alive, and there's only what, like 7.5 billion alive today? So, like, what happened to those 107 billion? There's got, just mathematically, there's got to be a ghost, right?
Oh, so this is like how like people interested in like extraterrestrials are like, for how vast the universe is,
right.
we're looking at a near impossibility that they're not out there. You're saying for the amount of dead motherfuckers that are out there, you're saying there's not a couple ghosts?
There's not somebody hanging around? Yeah, I mean, you know, when in doubt, just throw numbers at it.
Yeah,
I loved it. 7 billion.
Yeah. Yes.
The mathematical proof for ghosts.
Like, do you have, or what's the freakiest story or what's the freakiest experience you've had through your ghost encountering?
So I just love listening to ghost stories. I have not been, you know how people say they're like old souls? I'm a new soul. I'm here for the first time, for sure. I am so dumb about everything and I have no instincts. And that's why I love other people's ghost stories, you know? But right. I did like batch record a bunch of ghost story podcasts a couple of years ago. And then weird stuff started happening in my apartment where I live with my husband. And he was like, we both at different times thought the other person got into bed and the other person was in a different room. So we both felt somebody get into bed. And then like, he's got a million hats and one of his hats was just like in the middle of the room on the floor and it had been like under a big pile. Anyway, not that exciting, but we were terrified and saged the apartment. We got real drunk. Then we saged. We opened all the doors and all the windows, which there are not that many of. And we told the ghost, we invited the ghost to please leave. Okay. And then we never had a problem after that.
Man. Oh, shit. Okay, well then bust them up. Bust those ghosts.
That is a thick-skinned ghost. I feel like being invited to leave is pretty, it's pretty clear what's going on there. They're like, get the fuck out of here. I mean,
honestly,
we invite you.
The ghost took a better hint than most people at parties, right?
Seriously.
Right. we're inviting you to leave now.
Yes.
You're supposed to be nice to them.
Would
we don't
you
know,
RSVP yes that you are leaving? Or?
And this is where we diverge, because I'm not here for hand-holding the ghosts, you know? We've been handling them with kid gloves for too long. We need to take a hard line with these ghosts and get the fuck on out of here.
Yeah.
Miles, have time for me to keep not knowing why the dishwasher just turned on suddenly.
Mm. Okay, dishwasher bragging.
that is kind of a flex, especially talking to somebody in New York.
In New York, yeah.
First time having a dishwasher. So yeah, I'm gonna talk about it. Just like, remember, Jack, when I got the refrigerator that had ice in the door, it was moment. You know what I mean? These are the steps we take.
Yeah,
there's many
I'm
a
so
moment
jealous of that.
Towards God's love. Yes.
All right, Emily, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to ask the question whether Newsom's kind of landslide victory in the not getting fired election is a sign of things to come, how encouraged people should be. We're going to talk about the FBI completely failing the greatest U.S. gymnasts of all time. We're going to talk about the upcoming political prisoner rally that is, for some reason, trying to remain apolitical. I don't quite understand that. We're going to talk about the new wave for the unvaccinated, aka the pure bloods. That is fucking terrifying.
So cool.
Yeah. and of course, we will promise to and probably not get to a story about Grimace. All of that, plenty more. But first, Emily, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Something from my search history is so embarrassing, but I have been saying, I've been talking about poppers on stage, and I realized I didn't know what poppers were. So I was like, I need to like know what I'm saying, you know, just as like, I don't know, a courtesy to the audience. Because I've been talking about Lexapro as my poppers. And now I realize that doesn't make sense. Because poppers are not little tiny pills that you pop. Like, you know, I didn't know how people, because I'm a little nerd, you know, I'm like, I don't know how people do drugs.
Right.
So I had to look up poppers and where to get them and how to get them and
give them a try, right?
And now I gotta give them a try. Now I know you can get them at a bodega or something. Poppers.
That's just so funny. I thought they were just pills. You just pop them.
Yeah, that's why they were called poppers.
And then I had a bag full of poppers at the movies the other night, and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
To clarify, because I feel like I only just learned what poppers are. There's something you like inhale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get you high blood. And also loosen your muscles, including your butthole
sphincter.
Muscle.
Little butthole, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Wait, did you have a moment where someone was like, do you know what poppers are?
No, I always do this. Do you guys, do you do this? And I start talking about something for a while and then I realize I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And then I'm like, oh, I should Google that for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we do. It's called this podcast.
listening to it.
Nobody stopped me. Nobody told me, Emily, what are you talking about? They were just like, let her carry on. She will figure it out eventually.
Or did they just think? Wait, I'm sorry. How are you using it in context again? I'm trying to even see if someone could
her poppers. So
I was talking about like depression on stage. But you know, like I have seasonal depression 4 times a year. And then like, oh, Lexapro. I'm on, you know, Lexapro. I do poppers. I call it Lexapro or something like that. And
right.
It just didn't.
It's one of those things that gets your head scratching, though. You're like,
Yeah.
Interesting.
So maybe she knows something I don't.
Lexapro. Yeah. Or like what? It's a metaphorical relaxation of the sphincter that occurs.
There are so many people who went home after one of your stand-up sets and tried anal on Lexapro and had, you know,
mixed results.
Interesting experiences. Who knows?
Oh, I hope they... I mean, that's really bad because if you start Lexapro, I mean, this is gross,
right.
But you're going to poop a lot. You know?
Oh, hey.
So, you know,
are you guys not on Lexapro?
I didn't even...
What is so that?
No, I'm on poppers, man. What are you talking about? Poppers are my Lexapro.
Emily, what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated autumn seasonal vegetables. Oh my God. I had a deconstructed burrito with sweet potatoes in it the other day, and I found it extremely offensive. Yeah, I hate that. I feel like they're more expensive. They're on menus and it's like, oh, you know, you're going to have this $25 zucchini steak. And you're like, no, I don't want any of these vegetables and I don't want to pay higher prices for them.
Yeah, tis the season of mushy ass vegetables.
Right? Squash can get fucked.
Oh, shit. Say it loud. You know what I mean? Let them know. They can get fucked, according to Emily. Wait, I'm more worried about, you said you had a deconstructed breakfast burrito or burrito, you said?
It was a deconstructed burrito, which means a way of being charged more for a burrito bowl.
That is so fucking violent to hear those words, but being like, deconstructed burrito, you fucking colonizer. What are you talking about? What is this? Who is this? Why is this?
It was so miserable. I had no idea there was going to be sweet potato in it. I ate it. I was so sad for the rest of the day.
You're saying it was a burrito bowl rather than like a high-minded way. Like if you went to some fancy restaurant, they're like, and this bit of corn represents the tortilla and this, and it's a deconstructed. They're just being like, burrito bowl, but we call it deconstructed.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, lazy.
Lazy. Like literally they deconstruct it by unwrapping a burrito and dumping it into a bowl.
Yeah. Just dumped it into a bowl. There you go.
It literally was a deconstructed burrito, and then they threw away the shell, the casing, the tortilla.
It's not a deconstructed burrito if there's no tortilla representation, right?
No.
Unless you're eating it out of a bread bowl or something.
Like, I mean, we're big on deconstructed, like, main courses, and, you know, aside from being the arbiters of what should be de-extinct, Jack also chimes in on these kinds of modern food trends, but
yes.
It usually has everything represented.
My favorite deconstructed meal was the deconstructed pizza as presented by Lunchables. That was among the best. I agree, though. A vegetable medley of autumn vegetables is usually not good. It's usually too slimy and mushy, and I am team fuck squash along with
you. Wow.
Thank God.
I'm just thinking, so it's Brussels sprouts, carrots, cabbage, pumpkin, although not technically pumpkin. Vegetable, acorn squash, potatoes, sweet potatoes, yams.
Zucchini.
Zucchini, right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's more the squash family and the pumpkin, like, kind of mushy. Like, I like a good, you know, squash soup or like that. I'm good with it when it's like blended up, liquefied, but just the consistency does always make me feel like I have to just, you know, battle my gag reflex when I'm consuming it.
I'm a fan.
You're a squash head?
Yeah, I don't mind squash at all. Like when it's done, like roasted, even like little cubes, like diced up. I'll eat it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not paying over for it. Still, mm-hmm. I still know what a squash is worth these days.
What is something you think is underrated, Emily?
Okay, underrated. I don't know what's happening out there in California, but I'm going to say underrated lawn sports, because we all got to stop, right? Stop being outside all the time when we thought COVID was over for 1 second. Mm-hmm, and right. I swore that I would never sit on a blanket and drink a White Claw and talk to my friends ever again, because I was so bored of that. I could never do it again. And now we're all back to the parks, hanging out at parks, and I can't do it. And I have discovered all these lawn sports, and they are a way of escaping myself. And I'm like, why is everyone in Central Park, in Prospect Park, in McCarran Park not playing these games? Why are you all still sitting on blankets? There's so much you could do. You got spike ball, you got classics like bocce ball. There's a new one called cross net that's so fun, and they are just making me, I don't know, be happy for
What's
like
cross net.
Cross net is like four square volleyball. So you don't have to be good at volleyball to play, just mildly athletic.
Yeah,
it's just teeny tiny, and you actually get a good workout, and then like you hit a friend in the head and then you laugh about it, and you're not just sitting on a blanket.
Drinking White Claw.
Wait, cross net? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
It's great.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Spike ball, I like. I'll play spike a little ball. Spike ball.
It's awesome. My husband's in a spike ball league, and I had to play the other day because his partner couldn't play, and oh boy, I got my butt kicked. There's a lot of strategy that goes into that, but it's very fun.
If you see clips of like whenever I see competitive spike ball, I'm like, come on now, I'm not gonna do all that. But also I'm like amazed at just how the game is played at that level, for sure.
Dude, spike ball has been around since I think like 1990 or something, the early 90s.
It has some real early 90s vibes.
But the guy that invented it never patented it. So a guy that's like our age was like, wait a second. I've got this when I was a kid. No one ever patented it. Now he's like a zillionaire. Oh. And yeah, very smart thing to do. Idiot. And he like in 2007, he like reignited the spike ball trend and is now CEO of Spike Ball.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
What an American story. It's like, this sucker didn't protect his IP. Now it's mine.
Now, you know, I didn't think of it that way because he's from Chicago and I'm from Chicago. And I'm like, good job. Good job getting yours. But, you know, you're not wrong.
Is the original inventor like out here just like talking about it like destitute? He's like, they took everything from me. I just invented a game for all to have fun with very just things he had lying around the house. And now I have nothing.
I didn't think about that either.
I love this, Emily. You're like, I don't know. Just I love that.
Yeah. I was happy. I was just happy that a straight white man finally got his. You know what I mean?
I know. It's about time.
Good to see a win in that column for once.
Speaking of straight white men, do you fuck with cornhole? Is that in your...
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a Midwestern thing, too.
Bags.
Bags, cornhole. Yeah. I'll fuck with some cornhole. Love it.
How about lawn darts?
No, I haven't really. Yeah. What's the one where you throw rope with little like tubes hanging off it,
it's and like then
it
has ladder to hang on the
ladder
ball?
That one's
good. I think. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Ladder ball.
Oh, right. Where you just throw like the little bolo things and get them on the little rungs. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
For a second, I was like, what are we talking? What lawn game do I not know about now?
Do you guys play a lot of lawn games? Is that a thing? I was just in LA in Griffith Park and no one was playing lawn games.
We play Get Off My Lawn games. I think out here, just, like being very hostile to anyone who walks in front of your house. No, I mean, I have in my friend group, like people will bring out the ladder ball stuff or bring out like some version, but not all the time. But I think it varies from group to group. I'll say that like all my local like Angelino friends who we all grew up here, we don't bring out the lawn games. It's the transplants who have parties who bring out the lawn games.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I encounter them.
That's your nice way of saying you're such a nerd, Emily, which is fine.
No, not at all. Meaning like I'm just too cynical. Like I'm like, nothing brings a fucking lawn game. And then I'm like, oh, right. Cool. That I do like big Jenga.
Big Jenga. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Big
I haven't played most of these games sober, and now I haven't drank in 6 years. I think I might want to try these and see like what they're like, not completely wasted.
I think you'd love Spike Ball.
Yeah, Spike Ball seems like I don't think I ever played Spike Ball.
Oh, you'd love it.
Cannot guarantee that.
You can start getting strategic on that shit.
Yeah,
with how you spike it. And you know it's like it's usually
how you spike it. It's about how you spike it.
You could do a little high velocity spike, a little tapper. You know what I mean? Make them really dig it out.
Angles.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know what spike ball was, and I saw it on the beach at the Jersey Shore, and I made a mental note. I should find out what that is. That looks super fun. So thank you. Here we are.
It's pretty easy to set up. Also, can jam. We got to move on. But can jam. I feel like we got to say it before we. Okay. So that's a good one. I feel like that now that is a new classic.
I don't know what can jam is.
Oh boy.
I mean, other than a can of jam.
I'm not good at frisbee, like disc-based sports, so I get a little frustrated when I play, but it's fun.
Mm. So you're okay.
You gotta get a frisbee into a can, and you have a friend to help you.
The sign of a good lawn sport is you look at a picture of it and you immediately get it and immediately understand why it would be fun. And can jam wins that battle for me.
Exactly.
I'm like, so excited for you, Jack.
Alley-oopa. it's all about alley-ooping a frisbee, Jack.
Basically. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's fun. That's so fun. All right, let's take a quick break. I'm going to go try all those sports and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty system for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. And as promised, I guess, as advertised by Larry Elder, the Republican front runner himself, Gavin Newsom just smoked the competition when it came to the recall. The exit polling was, I don't know, there's a handful of articles now that the like exit polling and all that stuff is in that suggest, well, this is what the Democrats are going to do in the midterms, and like the Republicans are fucked. I don't know. I found it vaguely reassuring that like, one of the big ways that they got the 1.5 million signatures to like do the recall in the first place was by like getting people who are riled up about the vaccine mandates, but the vaccine mandates were actually a winner for Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like a change of direction for the population of California, or if it was just that like it was a loud minority of the population that was like really driving the recall, but not enough of them to actually win an election.
No, I mean, people, they turned out for bigger numbers to basically vote against relaxing COVID restrictions than they did even vote for Newsom, like when he was first running as governor.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, we talked about how sort of the strategy with Newsom was merely just gesturing to the other candidates and right. saying, or them, I don't know.
Yeah.
Up to you. This guy says a lot of stuff that isn't true, but what are you going to do? It's hard to say like how much this will be deployed and how effective it is. Clearly in places like California, like it's very clear where most of the people who live here, how they feel about ending the pandemic and how we get there. I'm curious to see how it works in other places. I mean, granted, this is sort of part of Biden's overall scheme or plan that where he's mandated vaccines. The GOP got real mad. But when you look at the polling, a majority of people aren't upset by it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get it. Like this definitely, if as a binary in an election, you're saying, do you want to keep us safe or do you want someone who's saying we're going to take the brakes off and fucking rewind to 2019? In that instance, it's very clear. But I think it all depends on how important the vaccine is, depending on the voter or the pandemic is depending on the geography, too.
Right. I mean, yes, Trump carried a surprising percentage and sheer volume of the votes in the 2020 election that I think horrified everybody. I don't know. It seems like I am wondering if the anti-vaxxer stuff and the January 6th insurrection, I mean, those are not popular things. Like people are not like on board with that. So the fact that those are kind of the biggest things that have happened and been associated with the Republican Party since that election, maybe that will hurt them. I mean, I am slightly more hopeful than I was yesterday that will hurt them and that people are like, yeah, no, that is, we saw those, you know, school committee PTA meetings and they were terrifying, you know?
Yeah. I just think, you know, the strategy of saying, well, what about this guy? Doesn't make me that confident, like in the person running, you know,
right.
And I get that as a strategy that works, but I'd also hope to see the kinds of candidates or a way of campaigning where you're actually trying. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know why I'm saying this because they campaign on so much shit that they don't deliver, but actually trying to create results to motivate people. Like, how about you actually deliver safe abortion access or, you know, safeguards against voter suppression?
Yeah, totally.
Changing child care and things like that. Like, do that and gesture to that, because if you just, it allows them to be even fucking lazier,
right,
and not have to move anything forward and just say, well, you can, okay, what, so you want this guy,
right?
Okay. Yeah. And then there's no action.
Yeah,
but you know, people, it's everyone is already writing their articles. This is 2022, 2024, this is where it's gonna go.
Do you think it got to this point with Newsom because it didn't, like, because the pandemic didn't end? I mean, it's just so weird to me. I mean, obviously, I know there's a lot of Republicans in California, but it's just so weird to me as a New Yorker for us to, like, have gone through all of this with Cuomo and for it to mostly work. Like, New York City is a very safe place to be considering everything right now. And now we all hate Cuomo, but, like, for different reasons. But,
right.
Like, if... I mean, I don't know if his stricter ideas and like mandates had worked, this wouldn't have happened, right?
The difference is like to get a recall in California is really what it boils down to. You just need 1.5 million signatures, or I think it's like roughly 8% of the electorate. And then you can trigger a recall, in which case if the incumbent doesn't reach 50%, any fucking sloppy candidate who just has a plurality after that can instantly be the governor. So it's a very like indirect or direct way to sort of like short circuit the system in California.
Democracy.
To try and, to try and fuck around and change something by just playing very small margins to try and get what they want. And I think a lot of it is also, this was a way for many Republicans who, you know, especially after Biden was elected, who were like, I can't believe I live in California. Look at what they're doing. Like, this gave them something to really get behind and be motivated against. But even then, it wasn't reaching outside of, you know, that typical group of people to, you know, deliver over 50%, you know, right. of the vote.
But yeah. It did sort of bond like far right and then like that sort of, I don't know, I just like to eat grass and I'm not gonna, you know, like it's weird how it becomes circular and like,
Yeah.
Like it's not a line. It's not a straight political line. It like turns into a circle and like these like hippies are like hanging out with these like hardline Republicans. Boys. And I'm wait, where, how did you guys become friends?
All of those like anti-lockdown, anti-vaccine rallies I've seen in California or like New York, I'm always like, pausing the frame and I'm going like, how are all of these people standing shoulder to shoulder right now?
Yes, I'm like, exactly. Wow.
Guess one thing's more important than everything else they talk about.
All right, let's talk about the FBI continuing to just fuck everything up and be terrible at their job. Simone Biles, Michaela Maroney, Maggie Nichols, and Allie Reisman testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee to give their account of how just awful the FBI's investigation into Larry Nassar was. And it's really, I mean, there was a report over the summer that kind of highlighted a bunch of this stuff, but it was really necessary and like brave of them to actually put themselves out there because I think it highlighted it for a lot of people who probably didn't read the whole report, just how completely the FBI had fucking bungled this thing.
Yeah. I mean, at first it was just sort of like they did a terrible job. And I saw some of the headlines, but again, their testimony today was so if you didn't read it, just to hear people who are describing their pain and trauma in just trying to pursue like some kind of legal justice for what had occurred to them. And then the lack of action from the FBI was like really everybody like it seemed that was in the Senate chamber for that was just like. Just kind of felt sick. You know, Michaela Maroney has talked about how she spoke with an FBI agent about her experience and was like just so distraught through the whole thing. And then like at the end of the conversation, the agent was like, so that's it. And she was like, I just described really vivid abuse to you. And I'm like very emotional about it. And then on top of that, the agent didn't properly follow up based on that interview and then drafted like a summary of the interview that had just things she didn't say in it at all, like just falsified this report.
Well, he didn't even draft it until basically years later, at least a year later.
Until they got caught.
Right. Until they got caught ignoring the shit out of this. And then he was like, oh, okay, so here's my report on that interview. And he was doing it after the fact, basically making shit up.
Yeah. And throughout this, you know, the OIG, the Office of Inspector General report, talks about many other things too, just how even despite that, Larry Nassar was free and was able to continue his just abusive behavior, even though they spoke to many people who are just ringing this alarm, and yet they did nothing. They even said that there was an agent who led the Indianapolis field office lied to the Justice Department Inspector General, it quote, in an effort to minimize or excuse his errors. So, you know, this is just like a very, very sad, you know, sadly, very normal case where people are trying to seek justice in as it relates to like allegations of sexual abuse and law enforcement is just like unable to do it. Or in this instance, just completely does nothing at all to remedy the situation. And, you know, all the athletes that were there, they said, look, like the FBI failed. Also, Safe Sport is a total failure. Like this organization that is supposed to investigate these kinds of allegations couldn't protect us either. And when I, you know, raised an issue, a lawyer for the U.S. Gymnastics Association, like followed up with me. That was the first call I got, was from a lawyer. And they're just saying the way everything is set up is completely antithetical to any idea that it's going to protect people who have allegations or need to be protected from abusive coaches and, you know, organizations in general. It's a very, very FBI kind of moment, especially when you see like how the DOJ is not going to prosecute the agents when we've seen time and again that people go to prison for lying to the FBI or lying to law enforcement or making false statements. These people did that. And the Department of Justice's stance is like, we're not going to be pursuing that.
Right. It's not. It doesn't count if the FBI is lying to themselves. It's come on.
Right. But so what's different here? You know, and like that's where, again, if we just look at this fucking very inconsistent application of the law.
Yeah.
And in this case, this is it seems like such an egregious transgression and error, not even error, but just action from these agents, that to do nothing about it is, I think, shows again how we will continue to fail people like this if we're not going to take things seriously enough to, you know, reprimand people who are involved with, you know, obscuring the facts.
Yeah, it's super frustrating. Basically, everything you read about the FBI is a complete nightmare. It's a complete just farce, and has been since they were surveilling Martin Luther King Jr. and telling him to kill himself. It's a shitty organization that probably shouldn't exist.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what comes of this. You know, a lot of the senators said good things after they made their statements, saying, you know, like, we get that you're not here for I'm sorry's, you're here for action. You're here for justice. And we will hopefully get answers from, you know, Chris Wray and other people at the FBI. But you'd hope that there is some, on some level, you know, when you're looking at, especially when other athletes are raising the question, at what other level is this happening? Not just at the most elite level. Like, you can't, right. this, we can't just treat this thing as something in a vacuum. But then it was just sort of disheartening too. And you have like Chuck Grassley and like Dick Durbin, who are just like these older guys, like kind of listening to things. It's like, oh yeah. You could just tell that they weren't really equipped to respond to those statements. A lot of, like, a few of the other senators were, but on some level, there's like this old guy kind of dealing with like toxic elements of patriarchy, who just sort of like didn't know what to say.
That's too bad. Oh, that doesn't.
Yeah.
That's too bad for those poor girls. Okay. Well, what are we having for lunch?
It felt like that, of just sort of like, thank you so much. Oh, that's awful. I have a question. Would it have been better if a female FBI agent asked you that? And people were like, oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
I just think it's insane that we're also like asking some of these women, like Simone Biles, to keep competing while they have to consistently relive this drama. And then we're like, as an American public, furious at her for not finishing the Olympics. Like, she's got enough on her plate right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she's doing more important work, arguably.
Yeah.
I think.
Absolutely.
And she even said, too, you know, when she was giving her statement, she's like, you couldn't even believe what it's like where we tell the FBI things for years ago. It continues. We hear other teammates say that now they've been abused, even though we tried to speak up to end it. And then to, like, go back into the context of like competing for the U.S. and going to the Olympics, and like Simone Biles saying, like, it's difficult for me, like what I've been through, and to not have the support of my family as I normally would going to an Olympics, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was saying, like, the people up there need to ask themselves, like, what is a little girl worth? You know, because if the abuse stands, like, we're sending a message that it's not much at all.
Yep.
I think everyone that's yelling at Simone Biles on Twitter should have to record themselves trying to do a cartwheel. And that's what I want to see.
Break their wrists. Yeah.
I mean, I would too. So,
yeah, I'm curious to see, because, like, I felt like with some of the Republicans, I know a lot of people, especially Republican politicians, had some real fucking lame attacks on Simone Biles for not competing in the Olympics. And I, like, part of me when I was watching, like, how many of these senators were like made any comments? But I was like, it's hard to know at this point.
Right. All right. Let's talk about an event that I'm sure all three of us will be attending. The upcoming September 18th rally that's scheduled to happen in D.C., where people will come together to, you know, rally around what they're calling the political prisoners, the people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th and were, you know, chanting to kill the vice president, hang the vice president. They have been given light slaps on the wrist, and that is a position that they, you know, the people who are rallying think is on par with Nelson Mandela and the apartheid state.
They're all Nelson Mandelas. Free the Nelson Mandelas of January 6th, I think, is the merch that they've made. Because they're just such political prisoners. They're not people who broke the law and we're just in facing, you know, what happens when you do that. But Matt Brainerd is this former Trump campaign operative and is like currently the one sort of trying to organize this September 18th rally. And it's just weird. He tweeted this weird thing out where like a lot of people were like, what does he mean by this? So Matt Brainerd, he tweeted, quote, We request that anybody attending our events not wear any clothing or have signs supportive of either President Trump or Biden. Anyone not honoring this request will be assumed to be an infiltrator, and we will take your picture, find out who you are, and make you famous. Ooh. This event is 100% about hashtag justice for J6 and not the election or any candidate. Now, I mean, I get it in a very broad sense, which is, remember, they tried to say that these people were Antifa and BLM infiltrators. That's who was doing the violence. And because everyone was emblazoned with Trump shit, it was just so hard for that to be like, what are you talking about? Like, and all of these people's, all of their communications, any research you do into these people, you're like, it's clear to anyone they're not actors. They're Trump supporters who showed up to do this.
Yeah, unfortunately for y'all, they have social media accounts that are like, that give us a beat by beat like accounting of how they were radicalized, when they were radicalized. So yeah, it's complete and utter bullshit. I don't like it almost seems like they're trying to claim that as their own, like that they will track people down. And I don't know, it's a very like, we'll do the thing that you did to us, to ourselves, if you, I'm very confused by this, unless he is doing this on behalf of the Trump camp, because the Trump camp doesn't want to be associated with this, because he is planning a run. I mean,
but just like zoom out, right? If it's like, if they're saying this is just about justice for the J6 or for January 6th. What was January 6th about?
Exactly.
The fact that you didn't accept the election results and you went to overturn them. So how could this not be about that?
It's utterly confusing. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just trying to even figure out what they
doing. I honestly think it's just they feel that it'll be optically better for them if when this rally happens, they don't have pictures of people wearing all of their political allegiances on them. So then they can misrepresent what was happening there.
Got it.
But it's hilarious that he said Biden shirts. Come on.
Hey, letting them. Hey, come on. Hey, you know,
funny as shit.
Justice. It appeals to all, you know, not left or right. But yeah, that's what I'm also curious about. Like, I mean, maybe there'll be counter protesters probably, but I don't understand. Sure, don't wear the shirts, and then you can lie more about what happened. But I also have a very hard time thinking that someone who's motivated enough to go to D.C. again to, like, protest this has any other clothes to wear at this point except for Trump clothing.
Right, yeah.
Camo.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, as of now, I think the Homeland Security, they suspect about 700 people will be there. That's their estimate. I mean, it could be more, but a lot of the same right wing actors will be there, and not actors in that they're faking, but participants.
Right. Yeah. Crisis actors. We get it, Miles. We know what you're saying. Hired by Soros. Yep. We know. We got it. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back, and the anti-vax, team anti-vax is having a identity crisis slash PR shift, you know, yeah. A pivot. They're pivoting.
Well, yeah, I think there's too many headlines where it's like anti-vax personality passes away. Like this,
right.
Recently a prominent guy in Colorado just passed away who like called himself like Dr. Anti-Vax or something. He recently passed away from COVID. And yeah, they're just in a constant identity crisis because they're not sheep, okay? They're
Thank
free
you.
People. We're not
do your own
we're,
research.
We're unafraid. We're right. people that do our own research, but they definitely don't seem to like the label anti-vax. Or in some way, you're starting to see more content where people are trying to like reclaim it to be something more than an accurate description of their beliefs, and which leads a lot of people to be angry because of the preventable death that is occurring as a result of people refusing to get vaccinated. Mm. But yeah, they've got a new angle. They've got a new attitude, I guess is what you'd say. And I just want to share that with everyone here. This is kind of the new way that they're doing, and they're doing it very dramatically.
So I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, from now on, I refuse to be referred to as unvaccinated. I want everyone to now call me A pure blood.
Call me a pure blood. Okay.
Holy cow. I'm sorry. Like,
feels very millennial.
If you've eaten fast food one time in your life, you're not a pure blood. Like, there is no, if you've had mayonnaise, you're not a pure blood. Like,
right.
I can't.
Don't tell them that.
I will now be known as a mayonnaise blood.
Ooh, mayo bloods unite mayo blood. Against the world. But yeah, this, I mean, that's just not weird at all to identify as a pureblood. And look, whether you're more Hogwarts or Himmler, I guess it all depends on how you want to use that terminology to describe yourself.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, associating with pure blood, and then there's like one anti-vaxxer who said, in like 5-10 years, maybe less, all the people who are unvaccinated, we're going to be hunted. It's going to be like Resident Evil. We're going to be the antidote because everyone else is fucked, and we're going to be the only ones with pure blood, which really is, you know, when you're combining, like, this is an existential threat based on the purity of our blood, that's genocide shit. That's like how genocides start.
But, well, I mean, I don't think they're seeing the nuance. And I think, I honestly think, I wonder how many of these people, like, love Harry Potter.
Right.
You know, because they have I don't know how much context they have. As I've seen with a lot of, like, anti-vax rhetoric, there's a lot of, like, they'll say things that drift into, like, problematic historical context, and then they don't understand why. They just know, like, buzzwords and things like that. And this one feels just so millennial to me. Like, right. This
super
is
Harry Potter. Yeah,
this doesn't happen. Like, we're not saying this unless Harry Potter fucked up millions of people's minds. I don't know where else. Like, it feels like an easy step for people. But again, a little bit grim. You're describing yourself like that.
Isn't pure blood like what Draco Malfoy and like the bad guys? Isn't that even like the bad guys' point of view in
I'm
Harry
not familiar.
Potter?
With all the lore, but I did see a lot of jokes about being like, oh, this is going to get confused with a lot of Draco memes.
Yeah.
So so you're saying in there, that just means bad pure blood of the bad guy.
Well, no, it's a value, like for the same reasons that it was associated with, or like so popular with Nazis, like there's a lot of like Nazi ideology, like tied up in the bad guys in Harry Potter. So like
got it.
Right. Like the protagonist is, I think they call her a half blood, where she's like has a non wizard parent or something like that. So, and like, yeah, there is stuff like mud blood and stuff like that that they call people who have human blood or human parentage. But like, that's not good. That's not like, so like, if these are Harry Potter fans, like they're missing the context, or they're just like, yeah, we're team the bad guy, we're team Voldemort.
What about you, Emily? You team Voldemort? Voldemort?
I'm Hufflepuff blood, whatever that is. Okay. I don't know. I'm dirty blood over here. Listen, okay, I got the dirtiest blood. I got the J&J vaccine before we knew that one was going to clot me up. I'm just a giant walking clot around here. You see me in Brooklyn, you're like, what is that lady? That's a giant clot lady. That's it. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know any more Harry Potter words. I used to work for a teen blog, and I was not on the Harry Potter beat. So Hufflepuff is the only word I know. And Quidditch.
There you go.
Another lawn sport. Yeah.
UCLA had a great Quidditch team.
That's,
I remember,
wild.
That was the one weird thing. I was like, let's not talk about this in public, everyone. But yeah.
You played, right? I've seen your varsity jacket for that.
Oh, yeah. Look, full disclosure. Yeah, I was fucking it up. You know what I mean?
I was pretty good.
But I did it under a pseudonym, Cho Chang.
All right. So that's terrifying. The fake vaccine card business is booming, but we can talk about that on a later episode. What we need to talk about is how no one knows what the fuck McDonald's Grimace is supposed to be. You know, Emily, you just mentioned, a walking clot. And I think people might think that's as good a guess as anybody seems to have. But so it all started
with through a bath mat. He's kind of hairy, right? I got to pull him up here for a second.
He doesn't. I feel he looks like purple goo with the face.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a CBC interview with a McDonald's manager in Windsor, Ontario, who had been named Outstanding Manager of the Year. And that's he therefore became the subject of an interview with a major Canadian outlet because Canada is fucking adorable. And anyway, at the end of the interview, the manager was asked what the deal was with Grimace.
Yo, what's it do with Grimace? Final question.
Yeah, because like the other McDonaldland characters are pretty straightforward. Ronald is a clown. Mayor McCheese is a sentient burger guy. The Hamburglar is a thief who loves eating burgers, despite the fact that they clearly have the capacity for intelligence and interest in regional politics. But they were like, but Grimace, like, we've just never really been able to figure it out. And according to the manager, he is an enormous taste bud.
Ew.
Which is fucking gross.
How do we know that's the gospel truth?
So people started looking into it. It is something that has been claimed quite a bit for a long time. In 2012, the McDonald's Twitter account specifically stated that Grimace is not a taste bud,
okay,
but the, quote, embodiment of a milkshake.
I was going to say, he kind of reminds me of like the last little, like the little bit of soda that doesn't make it into the cup, you know, and it's just like bloop.
Right.
Oh, right.
Soda drop. Yeah.
Yeah, syrupy soda drop. And that's why he's upset, because he didn't get in. You know?
But there's no purple milkshake at McDonald's, and there's no purple soda available at McDonald's.
Right.
Well, if he was brown, he would look like poop.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
And if he was white, he would get dirty really fast.
Yeah, he would look like they'd sue for like he's a ripoff Michelin man.
Yeah, right. Or Stay Puft marshmallow guy.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Believe me, follow me down the rabbit hole, the Grimace rabbit hole. So our writer JM looked back into the history of Grimace. He actually began as a villain, introduced in 1972 as the evil Grimace. A purple monster with four arms. He was basically the Hamburglar, but he loved stealing beverages, including Coke and milkshakes. And in commercials, we'd see him like hoarding hundreds of cups of milkshakes and soda. And Ronald and his friends would have to use their wits to steal it back, which why an adult clown and two small children need 10 times their weight in Coke was never addressed.
Hey, but come on. Why are they on trial, man? Okay, good.
I have a theory now that I just made up, that there was a time that McDonald's thought that they could basically be like the next comic book superheroes. So they were like making narratives so that they could have cartoons and books and whatever.
So you're saying the original MCU, the McDonald's cinematic universe.
Yes, exactly.
Is what they were trying to establish. Oh, okay. Interesting.
It just sounds like they really were going for it with like stories of, you know, now we've got two villains. Like, oh my God.
What is that thing? Is that from a book, Jack? This like evil Grimace thing? Like this is when they were like, hey, kid, like parents indoctrinate your kids with tales of Ronald and friends.
It appears to be a print ad would be my guess. In which it is like designed to look like a storybook, but Grimace has four arms and weird like legs. So it's basically like a six-armed insect that is also blob-shaped, and it's Ronald McDonald looking up in arms about having his milkshake stolen. So Grimace made the switch from good to evil, and they cut off two of his arms in the process because he was... Oh. And you're not going to believe this when I tell you, because he was inadvertently scaring their child customers. Because how? A giant, like, fat spider that steals your food? How is that going to...
You don't like Mr. Blood Clot? What if we do it with a Jamaican accent? Do you like him better now? Oh, they really hate this freaky four-limbed creature, six-limbed creature, huh?
And then there's the other reason for the redesign, which was that McDonald's was sued over their McDonaldland gang, which resembled characters from the TV show H.R. Puff and Stuff. And I think McDonald's actually reached out to them and was like, hey, could we like license those characters? And they were like, no. And then McDonald's was like, oh, okay, we'll just copy it. And we have more lawyers than you. Yeah.
Wow.
According to the lawsuit, McDonald's not only approached creator Sid and Marty Croft about collaborating on a campaign and immediately scrapped it, they also recruited former HR Puff and Stuff employees to help design McDonaldland. So they lost that and had to pay them a bunch of money. Oh. But so Evil Grimace was based on a character called Seymour Spider, and they, I think, just removed the two extra arms to make him seem less like a ripoff of the... horrifying spider.
I just love that like little tweak that they're like, we're good, dude. We're good. He has six arms. What are they going to say? That ain't no spider. Your Honor, a spider has eight limbs.
We call our expert witness. How many limbs does a spider have?
Eight. Yeah. It's a little baby who loves spiders. The defense rests, Your Honor. But wow, I love the energy that they go for. It reminds me of Tiny Fuppets. That's Scott Gardner right. cartoon. That's clearly a Muppet Babies ripoff.
A Muppet Babies ripoff.
But they do the lamest. It's like, it's not Kermit, it's Kremit. Don't say it has anything to do with their original IP.
Yeah.
Grimace. So is he, so what? So
he's retired permanently. Permanently. He's retired. Wow. He's retired currently, but not permanently, because characters have been retired and then come back in sexy new iterations, like the Handsome Hamburglar that they released a design of that kind of weirded everybody out a few years ago. Hopefully they are not planning a sexy Grimace, but you know.
Oh, I mean, I'd rather just have some closure around what he is once and for all.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also like, if that is a taste bud, it is a swollen, infected taste bud that, which is kind of what it tastes like. Like after you've eaten McDonald's and your taste buds like are like kind of have pins and needles because you've eaten so much sodium and sugar at the same time.
It feels like there's a layer of grease on your tongue that you can't get off. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You grimace.
Yeah, and then you grimace, and that grimace is just the, you know, impressionist kind of version of what that feeling is after you eat McDonald's. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, well,
that's beautiful.
To Grimace, you know, we hope to know the real you one day.
Mm.
Big G.
Big G. Well, Emily, it has been such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you and read you and all that good stuff?
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome. I'm very excited about my trivia book that is coming out next month. I love trivia, and I got to write this over the pandemic, so it's mostly uplifting trivia, things that make us not as sad because of the year and a half that we've had. And it's called One Day Smarter, and you can get it anywhere that you get your books. Pre-orders always help. I didn't know this, but it's like why bookstores put books on tables rather than on bottom shelves, because those books got a lot of pre-orders. So
yeah.
I appreciate pre-orders. I'm on the internet at emilywintercomedy.com and Emily McWinter on Instagram and Twitter, because my middle name's McKenna and I made a decision a long time ago and it was the wrong decision. and you can follow Comedians with Ghost Stories wherever you find podcasts. And thank you.
And is there a place that you would prefer they go to purchase the book?
Honestly, like if you have a bookstore that is your local bookstore that, you know, you might end up paying 75 cents more for the book, but you can ask them if they carry it. And you can. A lot of my friends have pre-ordered from their local store. So hopefully your local store will have it.
Is there a favorite uplifting trivia fact that you can use as a teaser?
Okay, so this one makes me so happy. This is one study. It was just one study, but one study found that the happiest age is 82. And the reason for that is that if you're still with it by 82, you don't care anymore if you're like hot or rich or like you didn't get that job. Like you don't care. You're just chilling. You're just having fun. And so it just makes me excited about aging because we're all supposed to be like, oh, no, I wish I was 25 forever. And let's all get to 82 and keep our wits about us and have a great year.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I think that's one of the big underrated kind of myths of American culture is that like life gets worse as you age. And apparently that's not true.
No.
According to happiness studies, you just kind of figure shit out as you go. You learn tricks. Yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, you know, I found one today. I was on Twitter today and, you know, Norm MacDonald just died. So I feel like that is taking over my Twitter. And I was getting kind of annoyed with some of the Norm MacDonald tweets. And this wonderful comedian in Chicago, Jeffrey Asmus, it's Jeffrey with a GEOFFERYATM is his Twitter handle. He said, before you publicly mourn a celebrity's death, make sure the post doesn't mention you more than them. And it's not. not a funny, super funny tweet, just super, super real. Because I'm so sick of seeing morning tweets that are like, me, 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 I. I'm like, okay, great. Somebody's dead. You know what I mean? Just show a little respect. So Jeffrey nailed that, I thought, and it was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. If you like 90 Day Fiance, stop by for that because it's a raucous good time. And I just want to shout out the Nicki Minaj to Trinidad and Tobago cousins balls tweet will never end, it seems like. Past guest Danielle Radford at Danielle Radford tweeted, "There is no big balls, man, is a thing professional healthcare experts were forced to say." And this is because the health minister had to come out and just say, "There has been no such case as the big balls, man." And I just, let me find the audio.
One of the reasons we could not respond yesterday in real time to Miss Minaj is that we had to check and make sure that what she was claiming was either true or false. And unfortunately, we wasted so much time yesterday running down this false claim. It is, as far as we know, at this point in time, there has been no such reported either side effect or adverse event. And what was sad about this is that it wasted our time yesterday trying to track down, because we take all these claims seriously, whether it's on social media or mainstream media. As we stand now, there is absolutely no reported such side effect or adverse event of testicular swelling in Trinidad, or I dare say, Dr. Hines, anywhere else. None that we know of anywhere else in the world.
So just, again, the most professional response to a bad fake science tweet. And just this guy even feeling so sad.
Right.
God, this is what happens when we get these platforms. They're too big. We forced someone in Trinidad to fucking do all this work because Nicki Minaj had a really cool anecdote.
Yeah. Let's see. A tweet I've been enjoying is from a current guest, Emily McKenna Winter, who tweeted a while back, "How to make friends as an adult. 1, say we should hang. 2, do not hang. 3, say we should hang. 6 months later. 4, cancel. 5, reschedule. 6, respect their cancellation. 7, reschedule. 8, actually hang. 9, say we should do this more often. 10, die." which I thought was brilliant. Well done.
Thank you.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you should go check out. Miles, what song are we saying people should go check out today?
This is a live track. That was recorded live in Copenhagen, Denmark, by a great band. This is a band that includes Yusuf Days, one of my favorite drummers, Charlie Stacey, and Rocco Palladino, the son of Pino Palladino, one of my favorite bassists. That's how you know you're getting old, when you're like, that's Pino's son. There you go. And this track is called For My Ladies. When they get together, they're just such fantastic musicians. They're kind of playing that new jazz type vibe, and this is a bit of a longer track. It's a little over 8 minutes, but it is a tour de force of instrumental mastery. So check this out. It's For My Ladies, live in Copenhagen. Yusuf Days, Charlie Stacey, Rocco Palladino.
Awesome. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.